It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Davinson. Joe and Pip hanging out in their places, and we can all see them now. It's so exciting. So exciting to see Joe and Pip.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hey.
All right, so more fun stuff. Cop pulls a gun on a guy holding his toddler. Ay, ay, ay. So we'll get to this story. A California dad is calling for the badge of a cop who is pictured aiming a weapon toward him and his two-year-old son at a George Floyd protest. The officer in the photo, he should not be a cop at all, Dante Parks, 29, told the son of the unnamed officer aiming the weapon just feet from where he had his son on his shoulders at the Long Branch rally. I could tell just by looking at him, he's ready to shoot at any time, he claimed. Parks says he only took his toddler, who was wearing a Batman costume, and holding a Black Lives Matter sign to Sunday's event because it was billed as peaceful. He claims all... Who the hell bills an event as violent? Unless it's like a UFC event. Listen, we're going to bring signs, but then people are going to get their asses kicked. Nobody builds shit like that. Anyway, just me.
Well, you never know what it's going to turn into. But,
right.
I mean, if people are like, okay, bring your canes and bats and we're going to kick some asses, well, you're not going to bring your toddler.
I might.
Clearly.
I might. Got to toughen up that little kid. He claims... He claims officers did not seem to care that he was with a vulnerable child when they started firing rubber bullets at the crowd. One cop threatened to spray my son with tear gas. He said, stressing it was not the same one with the weapon in the now viral photo. I was shocked. Video from the protest seems to back up his claim, with one woman heard wailing at cops, "What's the matter with you? You're a monster. You're really going to gas this child?" The video also shows at least one officer repeatedly suggesting Parks move away, with him clearly staying put as they fired on the crowd. A lot of people might think I put my son in danger by being there, but I know I wouldn't let anything happen to him. And when it started to get really dangerous, we went home, Parks told the paper. I'm a great father, and I take care of my son, and I'm raising him to be great. He also believes that if me and my son were white, I don't think the cop would have threatened to spray the gas. It would have been a whole different scenario, and that's another reason why I was there. All right, there's several things to unpack there. I personally do not think a toddler is a great accessory for a protest, no matter what it's advertised as. I know the kid's dressed as Batman, and that's cool as shit, but apparently they didn't get the message from Commissioner Gordon. I mean, so...
Yeah, can't they go to a zoo or a park? I mean, you know...
Listen, man...
For this child to be there.
I mean, and especially that close to where the action's at. I mean, so for this guy to insist he's a great dad... Listen, man, I get it. You want to protest. Get the kid a babysitter. He's not going to remember anything about this anyway. You're not ingraining values on this child at this point. He's 2 years old. If anything,
oh, now he will.
Well, no, I don't think the two-year-old's going to remember. If anything, you're bringing the child as a human shield. That's
no, but I mean, now he will, now that there was a lot of screaming and carrying on.
No, he won't remember. When he gets to be older, he won't remember. You don't remember a lot when you're two. You start to remember stuff when you're four, five, six. He's not going to...
I do.
You do?
Yeah,
I do.
What happened?
No, I was just... Pip remembers being two. I don't remember anything.
Oh, no, I remember. Yeah, I remember being two. I still act like I am. But here's the deal. There was an addendum to the story that the man stood with the child most of the time until the police started using concussive grenades, and they never fired on him. But that picture is kind of misleading because the way it looks like they're facing it at him, but he was actually facing it out towards the crowd. Now, for the simple fact that police there are in riot gear and they were using a concussive grenade, it's not because there was too much action at the horseshoe stakes. You know, you're at a situation that could be a riot. What are you doing there in the first place with a child? And if you see police lined up like that, get the hell out of there.
Well, and to further to that point, when the police officer tells when they start firing and the police officer tells Parks, you might want to move, it's a good fucking time to move.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. I agree with what you were saying before, that, you know, it's like bringing your child as a shield so that you'll get away with being there when stuff gets heavy, but it's a bad idea to bring your kid as, like you said, an accessory to a protest.
So that
things have been going badly at all of them, so why not,
well, not
expect that would happen with your daughter?
Well, not all of them. Most of them have been fine. But that being said, so I'm not buying this guy's a great dad. I'm sorry. Leave your kid home. Now's not the time. That being said, I told this story to my neighbor's a police officer. We were hanging out the other night, socially distanced, safe. Everything was fine. But we were hanging out with them. And listen, man, that picture, here's the thing about that picture. There's one cop aiming his gun at them. And then it's like every other cop in that picture is kind of chill. Every other cop in there is like kind of has their shit together. Like, it's not that tense at that moment. It wasn't like, I guess, what followed. But this one cop has a hair pulled trigger or something. Is like a sensitive Sally or something. This one particular cop. And there was a time not too long ago where I would say, you know what, this cop probably needs to be retrained. This cop needs to understand how to de-escalate. But given what we've seen in the past couple of weeks, and I discussed it with my neighbor who's a police officer, and he agreed with me, this cop's got a hand in his shield, man. I'm sorry. You cannot aim your gun at somebody who has a two-year-old on their shoulder. What is he going to do, wield the kid as a fucking bat? I mean, I know he's dressed as Batman, but unless he's going to grab the toddler by the ankles and start clubbing you with his son, stand down, buddy. Oh, the rest of the other cops seem pretty fucking chill at this moment. And
well,
if you
take a look at the picture. Number one, it's not a video; it's a photo, okay? And it could be where there might be people coming where he needed to fire that tear gas at the moment where the other cops were going to follow in kind. Also, he was not pointing the gun. It looks at it as a picture, but he actually was not pointing the gun at this gentleman or his child. The photo is misleading.
Well, I, you know what? Here's what takes away from that. That another cop said, I'm going to pepper spray your kid. And you hear a woman going, you're not going to gas the child. So something went wrong there with the police. Something.
Yeah.
Those police who reacted that way. Because listen, man, enough. Enough. Because there's enough cops
something
that get.
You know what? Something might have went. You know, this guy might have been an agitator. You know?
Yeah. You. There's only so much I don't care if you're saying fuck the police. If you got a 2 year old on your shoulders, you're not going to do a lot of damage. You just have to assess the situation. And there might have been threats there. There might have been agitators there. There might have been a dangerous situation there. The guy with the 2 year old dressed as Batman on his shoulder is not a concern. Do not threaten to pepper spray him. Do not point the gun anywhere in the vicinity. And like
he's
said,
he's a problem.
He's not a problem. He's not a great dad. He's a very minor problem in the grand scheme
how
of things.
How dangerous could he be with a kid on his shoulder?
Again, like I said, unless he's going to wield the kid and like say, well, he's Batman, batter up, motherfucker, and start clubbing police with the toddler's head, he's really not a threat.
Yeah, but however, if there's a crowd coming, okay, and they don't disperse the tear gas or whatever that is, and this guy is refusing to move, this guy is putting himself in danger.
So you know what this fat cop could do, and he was fat. He could walk past the guy with the toddler. He can get himself some of his steps and actually fucking take a couple steps away so that the kid is no longer in the situation. You're a fucking professional. Enough. You know, Chris Rock said it. There's certain jobs where you can't have a bad day or a bad apple. Pilots and police. It's like the joke is much of American Airlines goes, well, most of our pilots are really good, but a few of them like to crash into mountains. You can't have that shit.
that one pilot, that German pilot that got in a fight with his wife, he was getting a divorce. So the first thing he does, he jumps on the plane, he rams the thing into a mountain with a plane load of people.
Yes, yes, that's what I'm saying. You can't have bad pilots, you can't have bad cops. It's just, listen, man, I've said it, here's what I think with the whole police situation. I think you need to pay the good police officers more, because it's a really tough job, and that way you can... you can really get the top people coming out of colleges, and most of them now are looking for some sort of college education. Doesn't have to be doesn't have to be they graduated of a 4-year college, but they're looking for some type of education from them if they can get it. I know that's not every region, that's here. So raise the money for the good cops, because it's a really difficult job, especially to be done well. And the bad ones, man, listen, I think if you commit a crime, and this is not a crime, by the way, what this guy did, but if you commit a crime as a police officer, I think the penalty should be much more than if a civilian does it. We're giving you a license to kill. We are trusting you to protect us. You must be held to a higher standard. That's really the way that's really the way I feel. And we've had Detective Dave on here, and he said it many times. He's like, my goal was to be above and beyond reproach. So that's why I'm saying now, in the past I might have said retrain this guy, been a little in the gray area. Nay. We've seen too much stuff. We can get good police. I've shared videos of cops doing great things. There was a police officer in Houston, a little 5-year-old black girl. Again, why are we taking 5-year-olds to marches? I don't understand. But anyway, so also
just want to make another comment here.
Well, I was in the middle saying something.
If they're saying, well, they threatened to spray my son with tear gas. That's the one person saying it. Maybe the cop might have said, look, if he fires that, there's a chance that your kid is going to get sprayed with tear gas.
But it should never be in question. It should never be. Step past the toddler. Past the toddler, bombs away. Toddler.
Tear gas, but what if the tear gas is facing back, or they have to walk forward into the forward area with the tear gas?
Walk forward. Point gun. You can do these things.
But if the police are holding off that area,
They did not look like they were holding off an area. The cops looked really friggin' chill. Anyway.
It didn't look like it was the homecoming parade either.
No, it looked pretty chill. Anyway.
That statement could have been misconstrued.
Here's an example of good policing, which I shared on my Facebook page. So a 5-year-old little African-American girl goes, are you going to shoot me? Says this to a white cop. He said, the cop leans down. He goes, I'm not going to shoot you. I'm here to protect you. You can march. You can protest. Just don't break anything. So that went viral. It turns out the father of that cop, the father of that little girl, had a family member who he claims was, in one of these George Floyd situations, but was killed by the police, who should not have killed by the police. He said, that cop doing that made me change my mind on police, gave me another perspective. So he's like, so he was thanking that cop. So that's an example of good policing. That type of shit you need to reward.
Yes, that is. Now, was that situation where it was like a riot situation?
Not a riot. Every time there's a crime. Listen, if you were that scared. If you were that scared, don't be a police officer. You need to have some nerves of steel to be a police officer. That's why I'm saying you need to pay them more.
But if you're doing crowd control, and it looks like you might have to send off a tear gas thing, and you're telling somebody, look, your kid might get some of this tear gas. You might, you want to get it.
That's not what was claimed.
What was claimed was
a threat, and a woman saying, you're not really going to gas that child, are you? Now, we were not there, but that's what the article says.
That statement could have been misconstrued. This woman might have taken that statement out of context on what the cops said.
Listen, Joe, I've seen too much the past couple of weeks of the police lying and then the video coming out, and they have lost the benefit of the doubt with me. I'm sorry, I wasn't always that way, but I've seen too much of it. And again, I love the good police. I just gave you a great story, and I told somebody that should get a raise, and that type of video, that should be shown in every police academy for training, and it should be shown to every group of people that hates the police. That's how valuable that type of police work is.
Yeah, but when you also see a moment when you have riot police, you have this moron with a child on his shoulder. Hi, move out of the way, get out of here. They're trying to hold down a situation, and this guy is walking up and standing there. Get the child. I might have to fire a tear gas gun. Get your child out of here. She might be sprayed with tear gas.
You know what? I'm sorry. I'm not giving them the benefit of the doubt anymore. They have violated that trust. It's too many times. I gave it to them for years, and like I said, I love the good police. I hang out with my neighbor. I have friends that are cops. I've had them on this show. I stick up for them. I will defend the good police, but I'm not overlooking the bad shit anymore. And it's not just a few. There's too many of them. Get them the fuck out. No more. No more bad police, just like no more bad pilots. That's all. Chris Rock was on point. Listen, you can be a bad comic. And you know what happens if you're a bad comic? You either supply the booker with cocaine or you blow somebody. That's fine. You can be a bad comic and still work. Pip, you have options.
I was just thinking over my options.
You know,
you do have situations where the police are, you know, you have police where they're in a situation of uncertainty, which is a riot. You know?
Nah, there's too many stories of police rising above and de-escalating. They are trained to de-escalate. That is what they are there to do, to de-escalate. That's what a good police officer does. If you cannot do the job, get the fuck out and somebody else will. You know, and like I said, pay him more. I'm all, you know me, I'm all for my tax, I'm all for raising my taxes if it's going to go to good shit. I'm all for paying to live in a safe town, state, country, whatever it is. If it's going to go to good shit and be used properly, I'm on board with it. You can raise my taxes. That being said, I have expectations.
But I'm also getting sick and tired of these dopes that come out to these things and go up to riot police thinking it's the homecoming parade, and when they get treated a little, you know, when they get treated a little, police, you know, there's two sides to the story here.
The police do not have a license to rough up people that are not attacking them. They do not have that license. Like I said, if you were that high strung, get another job. Work at Pip's old place. You could be Karen's boss. If you were that bad at shit.
Did the story indicate on how close the crowd was to getting to them? It looks like they were getting close. And it looks like they were trying to. And then you have this guy standing in the way. Move and get your child out of here now.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you
could have pushed the guy aside gently or arrest him if he has to. But pointing a gun at a guy holding a toddler, that just, I cannot.
He was not pointing the gun at them. It says it in the story. And the photo is misleading.
No, it doesn't. I don't see it. Where does it say that in this story? And by the way, it's a right-wing newspaper I'm taking it from, so it's not. It's from the New York Post, which is owned by the Murdochs. So I did not see that in this story.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
No.
This was for an addendum on another post, I believe a Long Beach paper, saying that the cat man says with his child, the police during a demonstration Sunday in downtown Long Beach said that the man stood with his child most of the time until the police started using the concussive grenades, but they never fired on him or pointed the gun at him.
Well, that's with the concussive grenades. We don't know what this. We don't know what this was.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, so I don't take that. And like I said, a picture's worth. Listen, man. Again, you got to be above. Well, you got to be above reproach.
It's out to the audience. Look at the damn thing.
Listen, man.
I'm looking at it.
I go by Detective Dave, who I have the utmost respect for, and I don't agree with him on everything. Oh, you got to be above reproach. I mean, that's what we are. And listen, you're going to deal with assholes. That's the gig. That's the gig. Don't complain about people being assholes. That's the gig. I can't complain about hecklers. You can't complain about people doing stupid shit. That's the gig. You know, just like the president shouldn't complain about the press. That's the gig. You wanted the job. You get the good with the bad. The good part of our job is people buy us drinks. The bad part of the job is they drink heavily during our show and step on our punchlines and ruin shit. That's the gig. Don't cry for me. I'm not crying. You want to be a cop? Hey, you can fucking go through red lights and you're never going to get a traffic ticket again. That being said, you're gonna deal with assholes. That's the gig. That's all right. So let's move on to School of Fools. School of Fools. All right, School of Fools. So here we go. So this
I like Joe's smirking at his own song.
Joe's very happy with himself.
No, I was getting the next story off my my holder here.
Okay.
Oh, okay. You just had a little smirk on your face. I was like, "What's that about?"
Joe's very pleased.
That's me reaching over to the stand.
Okay. So this is before Minneapolis decided to disband their police. But the Minneapolis School Board unanimously voted to terminate its contract with the city to the police department over the killing of George Floyd. By the way, he's not the only black man to be killed in that town. We saw Philando Castile, who worked in the school system a couple years ago. Philando Castile, of course, was the African-American who was sitting in his front seat, pulled over, tells the cop, I have a gun, is a legal gun owner. NRA should have fucking stuck up for him. They didn't. And the cop panics for no good reason, kills him all on Facebook Live, and is acquitted. And there's been other cases like that. So Minneapolis has a history of some really questionable policing. Minneapolis public schools will stop any further talks with the police department, with the superintendent responsible for coming up with a new plan to keep schools safe by its meeting next month. I value people in education and life, school board chairwoman Kim Ellison said in an interview with the Star Tribune. Now I am convinced, based on the actions of the Minneapolis Police Department, that we don't have the same values. The department had previously supplied public schools with school resource officers. Kimberly Caprini, another school board member, added that she believed it's completely unnatural to have police in schools. Floyd died on Memorial Day after Officer Derek Chauvin was filmed in a widely seen video kneeling on his neck during the arrest. The school board vote follows actions from University of Minnesota, which last week announced that it would be significantly limiting its ties with the city's police force. Minneapolis Public Schools Superintendent Ed Graff said the security changes will be in place for the start of the next school year in September. The MPS leadership team and I are committed to preparing a plan that will support the safety of MPS students and staff in the coming school year by the board's resolutions August 18th, 2020. We're looking forward to engaging students, staff, and families in this process over the summer. I will say, I do find it unnerving that police need to be in schools, but unfortunately, we now live in an era where there are school shootings, so police need to be in schools. So I don't have the relationship that Minneapolis has with its police department. As far as my community, I would take some comfort with the police being in school, but then again, I'm not a person of color. So I get it, but I also feel that, you know what? Positive interactions between police and students of all ages is a good thing. I think it's good for the students. I think it's good for the police. You know, to see all these people of color, of all different colors, and white people too, of course, and then as they get older, they go, oh yeah, I remember you. You know, maybe it eases the tension if there is an encounter out in the public where there's questionable behavior or not questionable behavior. Maybe it brings down the tension. So again, I don't have the experience of living in Minneapolis and seeing just some really terrible policing, and I'm not a person of color, but I don't look at police as the enemy, so I get it. But I don't think having the police no longer in the equation is really a good solution, in my opinion.
You know, I never saw a problem with Minneapolis when Mary Tyler Moore lived there. You know, it was all fun.
Yeah, Rhoda was a problem. Rhoda was an issue. Let's be honest. Somebody should have shot Rhoda's ass.
What? Rhoda was a little mouthy, but she was fine.
A little too. Can you imagine Rhoda with that mouth if she was an African-American woman? She'd be fucking dead right now. Rhoda got away with a little too much shit. Let's be honest.
You know, it's funny, though.
No way.
If he had Mary Tyler Moore at the show now, when she goes to throw her hat up in the air and a bullet shoots at it.
Oh, right.
Well, you know, to be fair, that hat was acting in a provocative nature, just flying up in the air like that. It had it coming.
They put a bullet in my parade.
You know, kids, we laugh about this, but hat lives matter. Hat lives do matter. No, I mean, listen, I understand where Minneapolis is coming from. I think it's cutting your nose off to spite your face, man. I think it causes more problems. I mean,
I think it, I think it is too, for the reasons that you gave, to show that the police, you know, in an age that are there, they're there to protect you and stuff like that. And it's also a piece, you also talked earlier in the show with two sides listening to each other and trying to work out a problem, and that is a good start of a talking point where they say, look, we want the police to stay in the building. You know, let's work out a protocol for that to happen. Mm-hmm.
I don't need the police in the building. I need the police outside the building, but I don't mind the police coming in the building to, you know, for assemblies, like, you know, give presentations and talk and improve things. But I don't need the police patrolling the halls. I don't want that. But I do like a police with what's going on with all these school shootings that we've had. I know COVID-19, you know, knocked those down, but don't worry, we'll be back in school in September and they'll be back with us, these school shootings. I mean, we can't, unless you're going to hire, I guess, ex-police, ex-military to be your security. I guess if that's the move because you feel like you have more control over them. But, I mean, have there really been bad experiences other than in Florida and Parkland where the cop was a pussy and didn't act? That was an act of omission. Have we really had acts of commission of the police brutalizing students and, like, giving the student... students a bad experience?
I haven't heard of that.
No, neither have I.
I haven't heard of it either.
So unless we have acts of commission in our schools, why are we doing away with this? To me, it's an extra layer of security, and it's an opportunity for the community, the younger members of our community, and the police to get to know each other, which can only help. And I would think it would soften up the police, too. You know, maybe you're less apt to fucking panic if you remember the kid from the 10th grade. I go, oh yeah, he's a wise ass, but he's an all right kid. Hey, Johnny, remember the 10th grade when you got in trouble for lighting fireworks off? Fucking de-escalate. What are you doing, you knucklehead? You can't be doing this stuff. You build it. No, I was just, go on.
There was a in New Jersey, there, you know, there was the DARE program, and it was, you know, primarily it was to keep kids off of drugs, and
right.
The DARE officer would go into the school and they would give presentations. But one of the, maybe the best part of that program, because I don't know how much good it did keeping the kids off of drugs later, but one of the things it did was that there was, at least in small communities, there are one or two or maybe more if they're larger communities, designated DARE officers that would be in the school. The kids would get to know them. They, when community policing, I don't know if it's the big buzzword now, but it was, you know, a few years back. And so this was a really potent bit of community policing where, as Davin said, the kids and the officers got to know each other, and there was probably less of a feeling of these are just these, you know, people we don't know with guns that hate us. It humanized both sides to one another, and you are less likely to rush at somebody you know. You know what I mean?
Well, in this case, I mean, usually you kill somebody you know, but in this case, that's how most murders occur. But in this case, yeah, I think, you know, and this is where the left gets a little too crazy for me. I understand the outrage. It's justified. And I've just spoken to about it on the last story we did. But at some point you go, well, are we really solving problems or are we overreacting? And that's where we go.
It was a knee-jerk reaction on the school staff on that.
I think so. But that's where we go with
with
the whole naming of defund the police, because there's two schools of thought on this. Of course, I got attacked again on my Facebook page. There's the rule. There's the defund the police that Pip's friend, and she's been on her show, doesn't want any police. There's that. And then there's the other defund the police, like, no, we're still going to fund the police, but we're going to take some of that money for community programs, you know, mental health. Because the police, here's the thing, what we do in our society. We make our police and our teachers deal with a lot of things that isn't really their area of expertise. But because we're so lazy as society, in a lot of cases parents, we just push it off, and the police will deal with it, the teachers will deal with it. So let's allocate some more money for, like, mental health issues, domestic violence. Although, to be honest, domestic violence are the most dangerous types of calls the police can go on. I don't know why the hell they're going to send social workers into that. You know, listen, I don't mind, like, if Minneapolis wants to disband this police and reform it as something else that's better, that's fine. But to have these communities without police – Well, listen, man, a lot of these people that don't want police, they don't really like the Second Amendment either. I got fucking bad news for you. Everybody's going to get a gun if there's no police. You better pick...
Absolutely.
You better pick your battles.
And at every time, at certain times and fortunate times of everybody's life, you have to call 911. You know, and if nobody's coming, you're gonna have a real problem.
Yeah, I mean, listen. Yeah. I mean, the left gets carried away, and good for Joe Biden for saying I don't want to defund the police. I think he was answering with defund, which I initially thought, but then I heard there's two schools of thought. I thought defund means oh, we're just not going to pay them anymore. Wait, what a fucking lousy name.
Biden was talking about the Keystone Cops. He likes them from his era.
Oh, Jesus.
He's the same age as your guy. They're both older. They're both doddering old men. What are you fucking talking about? But, you know, I mean...
I like the Keystone Cops. They were very entertaining. We got to give them money.
There's nothing wrong with that. I like the Keystone Cops. Listen, a little slapstick humor with an arrest, I'm good to go. I like that. Better than a knee on the fucking neck. I'll take a little, you know, a little Three Stooges.
Yeah, right? Get in there.
I mean, but listen, you can't demonize people for their race or their religion. You can't demonize people because of their job. It's just really easy to say, oh, police suck. Some police suck. Some police are amazing. And you thank your lucky stars you have them because they are keeping you safe. Whether you see it or hear about it, the fact that they're out there is keeping you safe. Because I got news for you. People, a lot of people suck. And if we don't have police, a lot of sucky people are going to act really, really badly. And there's no amount of social workers that's going to go, well, before you rob this liquor store, how does it make you feel? That ain't going to fucking work.
when you club the attendant with the bat, is it your dad issues when he told you he didn't want to? Really? I got my brain matter over a bottle of Hennessy. Could you help me here?
Yeah. See, that's what it...
Is that the bat a symbol for something else which is not working in your life? Please lie down on my couch. We'll discuss.
I mean, and I got attacked on from the left on this, because I'm like, no, don't defund the police. I mean, that's the far left... Trump's team and Joe would like you to believe is going to take over, but Biden's not there. Thank God. thank God Biden's not there. But it's just like, again, the far right, the far left, think before you act. Try to get the best possible outcome. Don't just have a knee-jerk reaction. Go, yeah, we saw four really awful police officers, and we have a history of bad policing. Then get fucking rid of those police officers.
Yeah, right. And the thing about it is, you mentioned the far left and the far right. You've had your go withdrawal with them this week. You know, I go back and forth. When you're that far left or you're that far right, you can't be reasoned with.
No, they're not reasonable. Listen, people need to understand. People need to understand there are some amazing police officers, and you don't hear about them all the time because they fucking do their job well, and that's part of being a police officer. That being said, at the same time, there are more shitty police officers than we realize. And maybe the union's too strong, and I'm usually a union guy, but I've come down against the teachers' union, and it seems like the police union, too. You know what? No, if you're a shitty cop, you don't get the privilege to wear that badge. You need to go, because you're making it more dangerous for the civilians and the good cops.
There's a friend of ours, he's been on the show. I was over the house on Sunday. And we were talking about, you know, have we ever been at gunpoint? I was at gunpoint when I was a kid because the truck that I was in, the cop thought it was stolen, and a trooper got his head blown off pulling over a pickup truck full of people the week before. So he explained the situation. And the cop also explained the situation to me where he got held at gunpoint when he was on Long Island one time, showed him the bear, couldn't care less. And that, I can see where the cop that had the gunpoint, you know, at us, was just trying to be defensive. Our buddy also mentioned while he was on duty working for the FBI, he was at gunpoint with his badge out saying, I'm with the FBI, until his supervisor came up and bawled out the police sergeant, you know, and he got all that straightened out. So, bad policing.
But here's the thing, Joe. Here's the thing. I, not necessarily that cop, but very possibly that cop, if you were a person of color, you might not have had that conversation. It might have gone a lot worse for you. You know, you might you might have been killed. You might have been arrested. Who the fuck knows? I mean, you're in that case, you're lucky. You're a white guy. I mean, and that's what black people have been saying. And you
well,
know,
yes.
And let me tell you something though, because our buddy was telling me while he's in the car. Now you got to understand, he's on duty with the FBI. He's got his service revolver. So the guy would go, well, go open the door, open it. He goes, I have to reach down to lower my window. Okay, I don't want you to shoot me. I have my service revolver on me. I just roll down the window, you know. And he was telling me, he goes, yeah, the cop was an asshole. You're gonna get asshole cops.
But that's what we saw with Philando Castile in Minneapolis, who was a black man, had the same experience as our friend, mostly your friend, but I know who he is, good guy. Same experience. Tell him, no, I got the gun right here. I'm letting you know, and the cop panicked and then was acquitted. And that was a black person.
Why did he acquit him?
You know, I don't. Oh, I think the argument was the cop feared for his life, but if you look at the video, that's always the excuse that gets him out of a lot of shit. But there was no way he should be fearing for his life if you watched the video. But that's why people are outraged.
I fear for my life right now, so watch out, anybody in this house.
And I mean, listen. Obviously, we have to. You know, it's the same with that. You could go with politics. Oh, if you support Trump, you're a horrible person. If you don't like Trump, you're a libtard or whatever. You know, it's like this whole generalization. Americans do not like to go into the weeds and handle any nuance, handle any details, do, you know, scratch below the surface. So the easy answer is we have a history of some really shitty cops. Let's get the cops away from our kids, as opposed to going, how can we make this better and start it with our kids and maybe get the cops to chill the fuck out for a little bit and make it so they're not afraid of our kids and make it so our kids are confident enough to go to the police if they have a problem and make it so that when the kids come to the police don't fucking point a gun at them. That's how you build a community. But, you know, listen, everybody wants to go to their corners and just hide because shit's scary and cops are bad and black people are bad and this one's bad. It doesn't work.
Well, you brought up a point about a minute or so ago where you said people don't want to deal with all the nuances, and they don't. It's just, you know, it's easy to march and grandstand and make a sign. And then instead of working on the nuances to get everything resolved, because you want to know something, if everybody did, everything would have been resolved years ago.
Yeah, well,
but you know, we have people willing to listen to the black community who is saying that they have to have really tough conversations with their kids because they're afraid to send them out the door every day because they might get shot. That, I'm sorry, but most white people are not having that conversation with their kids.
Nope.
Because we live in two different worlds and people are sick of that
shit. Yeah.
And as much as it's bad to paint the police, all police, with the same broad strokes and saying police suck, I don't believe that. We both all know good cops and bad cops. But the thing is that I don't fear for my life when I come across those bad cops like black people do, brown people do.
My wife reminded me of the time where I was racially profiled. I forgot about it. So we're driving back, and
did you get pulled over by the Palestinians?
Okay. Anyway. Yeah, I had a rock at the I had a rock pointed at my head, stupid. Anyway. So I'm driving on Route 4 west in New Jersey where it turns, you know how it turns into Fairlawn where you go off the highway?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going up there. I get pulled over by a cop. Pulled over on the side of the road, and now people confuse me sometimes for being Puerto Rican, not when I'm this white because I'm a basement dweller. but when I go outside, when I get a lot of sun, I darken up, and you know, Latinos have started talking Spanish to me, so it's not just white people.
No, seriously,
which is fine. I'm just not, which is fine. But pulled over on the side of the road was a black guy and a Latino guy and me, and I got accused of like swerving or doing something, which I wasn't doing. I wasn't doing anything. And he's like, all right. And then he's like, then he reads my, my wife reminded me of this. Then he reads my license, Rosenblatt. This is you? Yeah, it's me. All right, I'll just give you like a seatbelt ticket. Even though I was wearing a seatbelt. But,
you're
but.
Like, you're like Juan Epstein.
Yes, I'm Juan Epstein.
But yes, you know, yes.
But see, now that's happened to me like one or two times. Imagine constantly living like that. Imagine how much it wears you out. Imagine every time your kid goes out for a drive. So, you know, I've talked about before, one of my daughter's closest friends, African-American girl, she has an older brother who just started college. I guess like a week or two ago, he's home, went out to Burger King to pick up some food. His mother tells my wife, I was worried for him the whole time. He was out because there was like a cop following him, and they have like a number that like he texts her if like a cop's following her or something, so she knows where he is. These are conversations I will probably never have to have with my daughter, and I just go, wow, I didn't. And I mean, I know a lot of people are a little tired of hearing the word white privilege, but in this case, I guess that is a white privilege because this never even crossed my mind. Just imagine how exhausting that is to live that way. No American should live that way. No American citizen, whether their race, religion, gender, should have to have that type of fear.
How many times has that kid been pulled over?
You know, I don't know. I don't know, but apparently that family's had enough negative experiences. We had Tim Scott, who is the senator, only Republican African-American senator from South Carolina. He's the only African-American black senator that's a Republican. Just happened to be from South Carolina. Like, told, like, he's like, couple years in Washington, D.C., I was pulled over like six or seven times because I had a new car and they thought I was impersonating a senator. I mean,
oh my God.
I mean, so this is the shit that's going on. This is what we have to change. And we've talked about it. I think finally white people in this country are getting it. It's a shame yet another human being had to die. I mean, that's how thick we are. But that's what's going on, man. I never understood it before. It's just a problem, man. It's just a problem. I don't have a solution.
Did the senator say how many times he got pulled over?
Did what?
Was it more than once?
No, he said it was like six or seven times. Look at that. Tim Scott, he's still senator, the only African-American Republican senator. But he gave a speech on this. He's spoken about this. I mean, how, other than President Obama, how much higher can you aspire to politically? You're a damn senator, and they're still fucking harassing you.
Just listen to what you just said. He's the only African-American senator. There are hundreds of
senators. I said Republican.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
And I'm not saying that's because Republicans are racist, this, that, the other. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this.
This is just
a matter of fact. You can take it for what you want. But I mean, that's the society we live in. And listen, man, if we want a better world, we gotta do shit about it. That's all. But I don't think demonizing all police is the answer. And I don't think protecting the bad police is an answer. I think there's I've talked about it before with President Trump going, God, if I sucked at my job, because that's my opinion of his performance, if I sucked at my job as much as this guy did and had so many defenders, I'd be lucky. It's the same thing with the police. I don't have these defenders when I suck at my job. Fortunately, I don't suck that often, but there's those nights where I suck, and nobody's defending my ass. It's just me, and that's okay.
Yeah, but let's not don't twist this into an indictment of unions either, because I heard us talking before about, you know, they're bad teachers that are protected by unions and bad cops are protected by unions. That does happen, but that's not what's the crux of the whole situation.
Listen, this Derek Chauvin
has protection. Everybody should have that kind of protection.
This Derek Chauvin had 18 complaints against him.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So I talked to my neighbor about this. Again, the police officer go, so, I mean, that seems like a lot to me. They go, but I understand people are going to complain about the police. That's part of the gig, too. That seems a lot to me. What's normal? He said what's normal is, and again, he's a new cop, so he doesn't have all the answers, but he goes, what's normal is you get a complaint every 2, maybe 3 years. That's a far cry from a complaint every year you're on the job. And that guy should not have been in that community. You know, I mean, listen, if you're that hair trigger, give him desk duty. If you can't get rid of him, if you can't get rid of him because the union or whatever, you have a shortage of police, give him desk duty. If you're having that many run-ins with the people you're tasked to serve, you can't be on the streets. I'm sorry.
Right.
And I know they hate, I know they don't like desk duty. Be better at your job. Don't suck. I know it seems like something I'm constantly saying on this show about various things. Just don't suck. And if you do suck, own it. Fix it. Don't make excuses for it. It seems to be a real problem we have in this country, and we're seeing it manifest itself in all different areas. And as Chris Rock said, you can't suck at being a cop. You can't suck at being a pilot. I'm sorry. That's the gig. I mean, in our jobs, all three of our jobs, if we suck, what's the worst that happens? We get fired.
You get fired.
Yeah. Nobody loses a life if I have a bad night at the club. Nobody loses a life if Pip fucking screws up a report.
Well, slow down. It was that night in Alabama. Holy smokes.
That's true.
When there was a riot.
Thank God we had some good cops in the audience.
Yeah, true.
We had the SWAT team there. But yeah, listen, man, I like the cops. I'm pro cop. I'm not pro shitty cop. I talk about my act. I like the good cops. I don't like the bad ones. Call me crazy. All right, let's move on. So we all agree it's a little heavy handed to ixnay on the police in the schools.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. So COVID-19 scams. There's been a lot of them. We've talked about them before. Now Congress would like to increase the penalties if you are doing a COVID-19 scam. Sellers of shoddy protective gear and thieves of stimulus checks, beware. A bipartisan new bill proposes decades in prison for scam artists exploiting the coronavirus pandemic. The legislation introduced last Thursday would temporarily boost federal criminal penalties by 15 years for pandemic-related fraud and by 35 years for COVID-19-linked counterfeit goods. The Coronavirus Swindlers, Crooks, and Manipulators Scam Act was introduced by Representative Tom Suozzi, a Long Island
Democrat.
Oh, you know him?
Yeah, he's down by me.
Okay, Tom, you like him, don't like him?
All right.
Tom Suozzi, a Long Island Democrat, and Eastern Pennsylvania Representative Daniel Muser, a Republican, who say they were outraged by reports of senior citizens being cheated out of their $1,200 stimulus checks via phishing emails by reports of phony protective masks. Taking advantage of elderly Americans amid their anxieties regarding the pandemic is deplorable, Suozzi said in a statement provided to the Post. We must do everything we can to deter scam artists from taking advantage of this global crisis. I am proud to introduce this critical bipartisan legislation alongside Representative Muser. Muser said the Scam Act warns that these scammers engaging in deceitful activities will pay a steep price. Since the coronavirus pandemic began, there's been an unfortunate rise in the number of scams aimed at taking advantage of hardworking Americans and seniors. For example, the Federal Trade Commission has reported more than 50,000 scams totaling $38.6 million, and the IRS has investigated 15,000 false websites since economic impact payment began. These fraudulent schemes are always shameful, but scammers using this time of crisis to take advantage of vulnerable individuals is absolutely reprehensible. The legislation also increases maximum financial penalties for fraudsters. To qualify for a sentencing hike, the legislation says a crime must occur in connection with the emergency declared on March 13, 2020 by the President under the Robert T. Stafford Disaster Relief and Emergency Assistance Acts relating to coronavirus disease 2019. The counterfeiting provision specifies that the product be advertised by the person as having the ability to treat, prevent, or cure COVID-19. The new maximum penalties for fraud statutes would be 45 years in prison and $1.5 million fine, while counterfeiting penalties would temporarily increase to 45 years in prison, up from 10 years for a first offense, along with a $2.5 million fine. The legislation may have difficulty passing on its own, but as lawmakers work toward a fifth large coronavirus package, it's possible there will be a serious effort to incorporate it into a larger deal. You know, here's the interesting thing. Why, and I like tougher penalties on this case, but why is it just because it's linked to coronavirus? It's certainly much worse to be a scammer. I mean, you know, scammers suck no matter what's going on.
Yeah, but it's always bad to be. Yeah.
You know, during during the crisis. I mean, you're dealing with people that are sick, that are out of work. I mean, usually a regular scammer, they'll prey on people, but they'll have money, they'll be employed.
No, Joe, we know that's not true. They deal with the handicapped, they prey on the unemployed, they prey on the sick. They don't give a shit. It's not like scammers all of a sudden now are assholes. Listen.
It's not new. It's just that it's even more vile that they are going after people who are suffering from a pandemic than from, you know, normal times. It's like it's the people are dying en masse, and so that your first instinct is, how can I make some money and screw people, motherfuckers? I'm nailed to the wall.
Yeah, but I mean,
I absolutely agree with this.
I know, but they always prey on people that are sick and dying and have no money and destitute.
Yeah, but this isn't a case of a national emergency.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's just I think it's just easy to go, you know what, why don't we raise the penalties on all this stuff, on all this scamming stuff? By the way, I don't...
Our prisons are overfilled, and there's no way that we can just lock up everybody for fraud.
I don't think...
But this is egregious. There's, like, degrees of, you know, like, if someone gets murdered, it's like, did you chop them into little pieces, too, and feed them to your poodle? That adds to the penalty, how egregious it is. So that's why I think that they've done this.
I don't know. You're still dead.
In addition, the IRS, from the story said, investigated 15,000 false websites. So, you know, the IRS is paying out all this money, so they want to be very proactive and very heavy-handed to get the word out that if you do plan to do something like this, there's going to be severe consequences.
I don't think it's going to stop them at all. A scammer always thinks they're one step ahead. That's why they're scammers. Scammers think they're smarter than everybody. That's what they do.
In a case of a national emergency, and all these people are getting scammed, you do have to be heavy-handed. Basically, the one key thing is that they want to make it stand, and so apparently they're looking like they're going to build this into a package, which I think it should stand on their own instead of making a condition of a package, because, you know, that's going to get stalled for a while.
Everything gets stalled in Congress. Listen, I don't have a problem with it. It's great. I just think make it stiffer penalties if you're going to be a scammer anyway. That's all.
Don't disagree.
I mean, I've certainly dealt with enough people that are suicidal over it, and we know people who've been, you know, who've committed suicide. You know, we've had people whose family has been on the show who've lost people because of suicide from scammers. You know, up the penalty. I don't think it's going to stop anybody, but I got no problem with a scammer rotting in prison.
Yeah. Actually makes me very happy.
It does. All right, let's do something else that'll make you happy. A little Nazi news.
At the end of the conversation, you forgot to say hi, Hitler.
All right. So a customer wearing a swastika face mask was confronted by deputies at a grocery store in the same Southern California community where another shopper wore a Ku Klux Klan hood just days ago. No, they didn't dress like Jesus Christ. The latest examples of white supremacist and anti-Semitic symbols being used to protect COVID-19 safety measures. The shopper removed the swastika after being ordered to do so by deputies called to the scene at Food for Less in Santee on Thursday, said law enforcement authorities. The shopper, who had later identified himself to the Times of San Diego and to police as Santee arrested resident Justin Hart, uploaded a video of his confrontation with a store clerk and a pair of deputies called to the scene to deal with a disturbance. He claimed it was his First Amendment right to wear the mask. But one of the deputies pointed out that he was in a family-friendly private store that can make their own rules. The officer added, they don't want people seeing that. It's offensive, dumbass. I added the dumbass. Second...
No.
Yeah, well, you know, a good cop, he's not going to add dumbass. Seconds earlier, the Times reported a store clerk asked him to remove the mask because it was basically a hate crime. He refused. I don't know if it's a hate crime. In a video of the incident, Hart posted to BitChute, A right-wing video platform. By the way, BitChute sounds like where people with small dicks ram it up the ass of other men. It's fucking perfect for an alt-right fucking web. BitChute. It's just like fucking small dick poop shoot. Perfect, you fucking little dick motherfuckers. Just like the Proud Boys. Ugh. And the Boogaloo Boys. Could you fucking sound more homoerotic, you faux tough guys, you? Anyway.
Do you know the origin of the Proud Boys?
Yeah, it's your buddy. He used to be on your buddy's platform.
Yeah, and it was a goof thing, and it was actually made because they were teasing a guy named it the Proud Boys, and then all of a sudden it's labeled a hate group.
Well, no, the group, the people out there now are hate groups. The people who are doing it now, I don't know what Gavin's I don't know what his thoughts are. I really don't give a shit. But I'm just saying it's a god-awful name, Proud Boys. We're not even men.
It was supposed to be. It was a goof.
Mission accomplished, Joe. Just like Boogaloo Boys. That's another alt-right group. But their claim to fame is they wear Hawaiian shirts. Fucking kill yourself. Fucking choke on a pineapple, you.
You're not going to say, really?
Oh, no. They have tiki torches. I don't think they want a luau. Ugh. Yeah.
If you're going to be a hate group, look like the hate group. What are you going to... You're going to have the next hate group dressed like a boy band?
That's what they're doing. That's what the Charlottesville pussies did with their little fucking cargo shorts and fucking shit stains and little tiki torches for a backyard barbecue. I hope they had enough bug spray on them. Ugh. I mean, God.
That would be... A racist boy band, you know? There's Adolf, the cute one, you know?
Lisa says...
Teeny tiny weenies. Adolf the cute one with his little knickers.
Hate and intolerance and perfect harmony.
Look at their dance moves.
The only thing we have in harmony are their songs.
Their dance moves. Everything's a goose step and a heil.
All worked out, all choreographed, you know.
A torture shop quartet.
I mean, really, you're supposed to be so intimidating, but you're not, because you have to go. You have to fucking go to Starbucks with your AR-15. Really, is the barista that fucking scary? Fucking settle down, you boogaloo bitch. I mean, really, if you're going to be a hate group, have a tough fucking name. That's all I'm asking. Fucking sound like you're intimidating the Boogaloo Boys. Ugh, it sounds like a fucking cartoon from the 1920s.
Or it's 1960s. Like the bananas and Swiss. They're all going to come out in those little vehicles. One banana, two bananas.
No, 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 no.
Not the banana split.
Minorities on the floor. You know, so yeah. It's,
oh, my God.
But yeah, it's ridiculous that these guys, it's like, you got to be kidding me.
Like, I really feel like society should bitch slap them just for naming themselves something so fucking lame and thinking that they're intimidating. You're not, you pussies. You're not fucking intimidating.
No. No, not with those names.
And really, let's be honest, Ku Klux Klan, that's a fucking lame-ass name, too. Ugh, and can we update the ghost attire? Ooh, you're a pointy ghost. Ugh. I mean, really? You know what? At least look fucking bad. I mean, on the wrestling, there used to be, I can't think of it, but there was like the three of them. Shane Rollins was part of it. But they had like these black vests and these black pants. It looked fucking intimidating. I can't remember what they were, but Seth Rollins was part of it. And they looked fucking, professional wrestlers look more intimidating than fucking hate crimes. Hate crime perpetrators. Ugh! I just can't take it. I'm sorry.
You can't look like you can't dress in the same outfit to go to a hate crime as you do to a luau. It doesn't work.
Exactly. Wow, I got really pissed off at this poi. Let's fucking terrorize some black people. Ugh, you pussies, you.
Yeah, I know. It's like, what do you get all riled up when you play loud music by Don Ho to scare everybody?
I have a ukulele and I know how to use it.
It's like, really? Hate songs to a ukulele really ain't cutting it.
Well, you clearly hate music.
By the way, let's be honest. No, I do. Nazi music fucking sucks. No fucking enunciation, just fucking screaming and overmodulation. We can't even tell if you can play your instruments. Ugh, where's the harmony, fellas?
Yeah, right. And also, but here's the thing with that music. It's just profound hatred, okay? Delivered in an angry way. A ukulele? You know, what the fuck?
But Joe, let's not call it music if all you're doing is sounding like a cat throwing up a fucking furball. Come on. You sound like the Tasmanian devil. That's what you fucking sound like.
But you're giving the impression that you're loud and you're violent and stuff like that. You can't enunciate.
At the end of the day, you're still the fucking bassist. Nobody gives a shit.
But you know what? It's kind of trying to be sly. I hate you. You know?
I appreciate it. You know what? Yeah. You can write hate music. Just let me be able to sing along to it.
You can sing a harmony to that.
Listen, man.
Well, why don't you write to that hate group, that hate band, and just say, do you have a word sheet?
Listen, you know what? If there's an anti-Semitic ditty and it's catchy, I'll sing along.
All right, you know,
oh
my
God.
He can help you out between each song. This one's about the Jews. At least you know what they're singing about.
Sure. I shouldn't have to turn to my white friend and go, what's he singing about? I should fucking know.
All right, this next one's about the black. You know, all right. So what's the song about the black? You know, at least you know.
You don't have to write new songs. You can just change the words to old songs. I did it all for the Nazis. What? The Nazis. What?
See, at least you got a theme, and if he mentions it before he goes into the song, you know what you're tapping your foot to.
And another, and it's, and it's another reason to hate Limp Bizkit, so that's good, too.
Any reason is a good reason to hate Limp Bizkit. Just their name. They probably are a hate group.
Here's a question.
Limp Bizkit.
Here's a question. Why do white supremacists suck at so many things?
Because they're stupid.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Ask a question, you will get an answer. Best. Thank you, Joe. Yes.
Have you ever heard one talk and go, he's got a point? Oh, really? Look at this. I'll give you a perfect example. In the story we're doing right now, this asshole is wearing a mask with a Nazi insignia on it, looking at his phone in the supermarket. How stupid could you be? If I was in that store, I would say, get out now, you motherfucker. I mean, and just sitting, how stupid do you have to be?
Well, Joe.
To walk
Joe.
Into the supermarket with a hood or a sweatshirt.
Joe, no, he was playing KKK Crush. You know, it's an addictive, it's an addictive game.
We'll give you that. Good.
All right. We'll continue with our story of idiots.
And I'm surprised. You know, I'm surprised. I mean, Jesus Christ, you go in the supermarket now, you're not bothering anybody. You go down the wrong way, a fucking posse's chasing you to produce. You know, this guy walking in with a fucking swastika mask on, you know?
I always love how you say swastika, swastika, like it's a fucking, it's like it's a hate group appetizer. I love that.
Swastika.
I'm going to have some swastikas. What's in it? White meat?
Sauce for those swastikas?
What's in the swastika? Nothing but white meat. All pure ingredients. Pip froze. Pip froze, making a weird face. Oh, well. And Joe froze.
Oh, no,
Joe didn't freeze. No, Joe didn't freeze.
Oh,
he blinked.
All frozen.
Pip's no, I'm not frozen.
I'm not frozen.
No, just Pip. Anyway.
On Facebook, you are.
Am I? Oh, well.
Yeah.
Well, fuck it. Uh-oh. The audio still
stuck.
Well, what are you going to do? Maybe it'll unstick.
No, I'm moving. I'm grooving.
Yeah, you're amazing. Anyway, the San Diego department issued a statement saying that when deputies asked for the symbol to be removed, the man complied. Investigators will continue to look into the matter. The statement added, the sheriff's department does not condone hate or acts of intolerance. And there's Pip. I guess she'll be back. We are county...
I can hear you guys. I just can't...
So sign back in. You have the code.
Yeah, I'm going.
Okay, good.
I tell you, you're frozen. That look on your face is looking like you're smelling a bad fart.
She just had a bad she just had a bad swastika. It had dark meat in it. We are a county that is welcoming of people from all backgrounds. Hart was asked not to return to the store. You think? Clerks and customers confronted another man provocatively wearing a Ku Klux Klan hood as a face covering in Vaughn's supermarket in Santee just last weekend. He refused to remove the hood until shortly before he paid for his groceries and left. Police identified that shopper at Vaughn's on Tuesday but did not release his name. They're continuing to investigate and pursue any appropriate changes in that instant. People in the community expressed outrage. Again, on Friday, San Diego County Supervisor Diane Jacobs said that such a sad, vile act vile acts like this must not be tolerated here or anywhere else. It is deeply offensive to the community and our entire region. Santee has a dark history of racist attacks and skinhead activity that earned the San Diego suburb of some 55,000 people the nicknames Clanty and Santucky. Ugh. Protests against the coronavirus lockdown measures have featured hate symbols in notable instances. The Auschwitz Museum deplored the use of Nazi slogan by a protester in Chicago earlier this month. She held aloft a sign reading, Arbeit macht frei, JB. The phrase means work sets you free and was posted at some Nazi death camps where Jews and others were worked to death or killed during World War II. J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, is Jewish. Michigan Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer, in a recent interview, condemned racist symbols, including Confederate flags and swastikas displayed by some in a protest against stay-at-home COVID-19 safety measures at the state's Capitol building last month. More than two-thirds of them... All right.
I got a question for you, though.
Yes.
They mentioned in the story that that one guy was wearing a hood, a white hood provocatively. Who wears a white hood understated? He wore it very understated. You would never know.
Yeah, he had the doomy look in his eyes. That's what I could tell.
Yeah, very tastefully and understated. You know, if it wasn't for the hatred, we'd accept it.
I guess we have to ask, should we allow Klan attire and swastikas in stores?
Absolutely
no.
Not.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
I don't understand why people who were protesting the lockdown like are bringing Nazi shit with them. I mean,
they might feel that it is an authoritarian government. And they might feel that you know it's like Nazi Germany on that.
Nay. You don't all of a sudden have Nazi gear. That shit you've had for a while. You don't go, well, thank God this quarantine came. I'm going to go on Amazon and get me a Nazi mask.
Look, I'm just being, once again, I'm being the devil's advocate. I'm not working on my mask right now to go marketing tomorrow. I mean, it's a fucking stupid thing. I'm just trying to give an educated guess. I mean, it's, you know, like I said before, these people are fucking stupid.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you're really upset about being locked down, I think the conversation shifts to, hey, why does that asshole have a Nazi mask on? You know, we're...
Yeah.
That would be good.
Yeah, I mean, it's just fucking stupid. Now you don't look like you know, a hardworking citizen who just wants to get back to work. Now you look like an asshole who should be forced to stay home.
Yes. Please do stay home.
And then we have the Gap. The Gap has pulled a camp shirt that bore a striking resemblance to striped apparel worn at Nazi concentration camps, with the webpage now reading, "This was so wanted, it sold out, was it?" The pale blue and white striped cotton t-shirt was widely slammed on social media for resembling the uniforms worn at Auschwitz. So at Gap made a white and gray wide striped shirt that reminded me of concentration camp uniforms even before they called it a camp shirt. I don't know if there's something I'm missing here, but this reads extremely wrong to me, somebody tweeted. Gap appeared at first to have changed the name from camp shirt to striped shirt on some online store after the backlash. On Friday, the shirt was no longer for sale on Gap.com and the brand's Canadian site, but the black and white camp shirt was still available Friday on its UK site. Gap still offered the short-sleeve camp shirts on its site, including other variations of the same black and white striped shirt in different prints. Gap rep told Fox News on Friday morning that the shirt was being pulled from its online shops. "We are deeply sorry for this oversight. It was never our intention to design a shirt that could be interpreted or associated this way, and thus inconsistent with the beliefs and values of our company. We immediately responded and are having the item removed from our site." I gotta tell you, whoever designed this shit and called it a camp shirt, this was done on purpose.
It could be that. How could you do? Well, you know, this kind of looks like a wrong idea. Well, no, people aren't gonna think. What's it called? A camp shirt? You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah,
that's the name of the style of the shirt. They call that style of shirt, short sleeves, button down with the collar, a camp shirt.
Well, you know what? Maybe don't design it so it looks like fucking Auschwitz. How about that?
I am not saying it was a good idea or that somebody thought this through, because, oh my God, it looks just like it. I mean, maybe the Gap is trying to go for a new marketing campaign that should be called Gulag or something. I mean, they really are not thinking straight.
You know what's scary? That the shirt was so damn popular it sold out. That's scary. Coming to a supermarket near you.
Oh my God. Wow.
But
people like, you know, maybe it looks stylish.
It looks stupid.
People didn't get the meaning of it, you know, and maybe people didn't just buy it just because they're like, oh, it looks like a concentration camp shirt, until people, you know, people are caught on that this looks like a concentration camp shirt, and the fucking thing's called a camp shirt, you know?
Not exactly students of history, are they?
I think they could have actually gotten away with it. They would have gotten away with it if they didn't call it a camp shirt. Call it something else. Call it a striped shirt.
Anything else?
Yes.
And then if somebody got
really,
what?
It really does look way too much like, a prison camp shirt, though. It's just, I can't believe people were buying it.
Have you met us? Have you met us? I believe it. And it's actually kind of insulting that people would be buying it, but I'm not really surprised.
I mean, if they were buying it completely oblivious to what it looks like and what it seems to be a symbol of.
I think that's what people were buying it for. That being said, it looks like that, and you're calling it a camp shirt. You know, now that people are going, oh, shit, and they're naming it that, got to come off the market. Sorry.
Yes, absolutely.
It does look nice, though, with your swastika social distancing mask, though. It is a nice outfit.
No, it's like, why don't you have little kids' T-shirts that say whore? I mean, what are you...
Don't they?
What are... It's happened.
Yeah, I'm sure it has.
Yeah, I mean, they're in Japan, and probably in other countries, but particularly in Japan and Asian countries where they don't have the same characters for letters and they don't read them. Like, we can't read, you know, Japanese and Chinese symbols as easily. They walk around with shirts and clothing that say ridiculous things on them. And there was, I think, we had a story years ago where... there was a company that was, they were marketing to the Asian market, and they said, for children's clothing, they said horrible things on them, like slut or something. It's like, you know, somebody's not thinking straight.
No. All right. Let's take our last break of the evening, and we'll do a little bit of Scamming Scammers with my lovely girlfriend, Lacey. On the break, we have new music from Be Infinite with Disco Head. And you can learn more about Be Infinite at khb-music.de. Last break of the evening.